focus on just a few points that I think are really critical. As was mentioned, the Warm Springs tribes have supported and been involved in drafting of Senate Bill 945. The primary difference, I think, between the two bills is this issue. One, the 3019 focuses solely on management objectives on preservation of the river from an environmental or ecological sense. Senate Bill 945 focuses on that issue, but also says you have to address the social impacts and the social concerns that occur on the river. That can be issues that we get developed between boaters and non-boaters, between jet boaters and non-boaters, between Indians and non-Indians, between private landowners and recreationists, all of those types of issues. Those are really excluded, I think, from 3019. Going back a bit to the last session of the legislature, in Senate Bill 202, when the OSU study was authorized and directed, the study was directed to look at both of those types of issues. In addition, it directed the people conducting the study to look at the different segments of the river because they have very different characters on each of those segments, and come up with some recommendations to the legislature for management alternatives. Because what we've heard today and a lot of what I'll say, I think, is really anecdotal in nature, and that's what the legislature has normally heard. The idea of the Oregon State Study was to get some hard data on which to make some rational legislative decisions about what direction management of this river should take. And I think that the Oregon State Study did do that. We came out with some very good results. The use limits issue, really relates to this issue of whether or not we manage for social issues or whether or not we manage only for environmental issues. Because if we're only looking at environmental issues, we can put enough concrete and enough improvements and enough site hardening on that river to handle an almost unlimited number of people. But the problem is, once you reach those high limits, nobody has any more fun there because they have the social conflicts. You hear a lot of people talking against use limits. But for example, and let's take a look at some of the hard data that came out of the Oregon State Study. On section number one, which is the section adjoining Warm Springs, and Warm Springs has approximately 30 miles of river frontage, as well as owning an important piece of property, the Shears Falls site, downstream from Maupin. On section one, and that is where Senate Bill 945 proposes use limits, here's what the survey showed. As far as non-boaters go, 79% support use limits, boater use limits, 7% oppose. Of the outfitters themselves, of the commercial outfitters, 41% support use limits, 41% opposed. So the outfitters themselves are divided on use limits. As far as all boaters together, 39% support use limits on that section, 36% oppose. So there are more boaters that support overall use limits than are oppose it on that section of the river. Now, on other sections of the river, that is not the case. In those cases, people generally oppose use limits. But I don't think it's fair to say, I think it's too easy to say, look, use limits are terrible, we can't do it, it causes a lot of problems. The fact is, there are problems on that river, the people that use it recognize it, and we have many of those same people supporting use limits. So I don't think that the answer is that easy.
Sir, could you give us your name again for the record?
Yes, my name is Jim Noteboom. I'm an attorney from Bend, and I represent
the Warm Springs Tribe. Spell it, sir, so I'm working it for the record.
N-O-T-E-B-O-O-M.
Thank you.
Okay. I think it's true that the legislature can't come up with a management plan that's going to have all of the detail that's necessary. I do think, though, that it is necessary for the legislature to come up with some general guidelines about how this river is to be used. The Oregon State Study presents a lot of the hard data necessary for making that evaluation. Then if the legislature chooses a restrictive management system that will limit entry, or chooses a much broader management system, it gives you some guidelines to do that. But I think the legislature has to make that choice. Senate Bill 3019 does make that choice, and I think what it says is we will manage it to develop the maximum number of people or users on that river. We do it through capital improvements. That's one of the ways, through capital improvements. One of the things the study shows, one of the conclusions, is that if some capital improvements, and specifically ones that are considered here, will only make the problems worse, because we're going to encourage more people to come onto the river. We may improve it with campsites and make the river physically able to handle them, but when they get there, they aren't going to have as much fun because there are too many people on some of those segments. The second issue I'd like to address is this idea of should a commission manage this, and I don't think they should, and the reason is this. Right now, we have a number of different governmental entities, state, federal, and tribal, that are involved necessarily in the management of this river. Within the state, you have a number of different agencies that are involved in the management of the river. The commission is not going to be the end-all. They cannot speak for either the state or for either the federal or the tribal agencies or entities. We're going to have, I think, a lead state agency that should be the State Parks Department, because they have filled that role and they've done it well. We have not always agreed with the state agency or with the Parks Department, but they have performed their function admirably, and I think it makes sense for them to continue. As far as public input goes, we do still have the advisory committee that works with the State Parks Department. But I think there's going to have to be the State Parks Department as the lead agency for the state. We're going to have the BLM that's involved for the federal government and the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the tribes. And we can't really get around dealing with those four entities. As far as public input goes, the concept under Senate Bill 945 is to develop a management plan as an administrative rule, and of course the rulemaking process is going to provide a mechanism for getting a broad range of public input. With regard to whether it's time or not for a management plan to come about, emphatically we have to say yes. The idea of getting the Oregon State study was to develop the base of data from which some rational decisions could be made. And now is the time for the legislature, we believe, to authorize a mechanism for development of that plan. And the tribes, of course, will be supporting Senate Bill 945, although I'm sure that some of these concepts could be made a part of House Bill 3019.
Let me ask you in reference to that, because I think that's important. In your judgment, since this bill, that is, if the Senate passes the Senate bill, it'll come to this committee. If this committee passes this bill under consideration, it'll go to the Senate committee. In your judgment, is it possible to wed those two bills and wed those concepts in any sort of livable way?
I think it's going to be very difficult because of the dichotomy we have between a bill that focuses in on unlimited entry onto the Deschutes River and the concept of some limitations on use. And the 945 is not talking about making the Deschutes a wilderness area or limiting stringently the numbers of people. We're saying that on one section, namely the Warm Spring section, where most of the users support that we limit entry. And it's not necessarily, this is not a wilderness area, that time is long gone. But there's been an explosion of usage, and that has to be controlled. But I think we've got a basic split on the issues that the legislature is going to have to make a call on.
In reference to that, then, would it be possible, and I'm simply asking the question, not saying that this is the right way to go about it, to have that part of the river referenced along the Warm Springs Reservation more limited use, and to have other parts of the river with more open use?
That is the concept that we have proposed, and we think it is workable. uniform fire regulations along all sort of, all lengths of the river, certainly, and camping fees and everything else, all the same, but in terms of limited entry, we believe that it is appropriate at Warm Springs to have that limited.
Representative Anderson.
Would Warm Springs tribe support a, not a commission, but an advisory committee that was more broadly based than the bill calls for, which would include BLM and et cetera, et cetera, as an advisory committee to help construct a management plan for the river?
I don't think we're necessarily opposed to an advisory committee at all. The what we have to recognize is that only the tribal council can speak for the confederated tribes. Only an agency head can speak for the agency. So I don't think that it's that is a problem. I think that the and public, we already have a managing agency group that includes all of those agencies and groups, and it works quite well. We meet about twice a year and discuss problems, and within the framework that we have, come up with the best solutions we can. So that mechanism already, I think, is in place.
Is that it, gentlemen? Yeah, Representative Anderson.
This management committee, is this a scenic, overall state scenic?
No.
What is the other committee?
This is a management group that normally has representatives attending from BIA, the tribes, BLM, Department of Fish and Wildlife, Marine Board, State Police, County Sheriff, County Commissioners, all of the various governmental agencies, and we've often had representatives from the outfitters attend those meetings, that meet on a semi-formal basis twice a year to discuss, generally before and after the season, to discuss management issues that have come up and how we might deal with those.
Well, I would think maybe if we're going to do anything with any of those, we might want to look at that group, plus broadening some more public participation as an advisory committee. And I think there's going to be some reluctance of this committee to form a new state agency. I can't speak for the committee, but I'm beginning to get that feeling a little bit. But you would be willing to at least to look at some of those types of concepts.
Sure.
I'm getting
sure.
Nod, yeah.
I think what we really are, though, interested in is seeing the legislature make a decision on this social impact versus ecological management.
Maybe this group could be the impetus to get the management plan in place and up and running. I guess beyond that, we look at how we finance that management plan and so on, and I don't know whether there's a resistance or whether there's money within that dollar user fee, whether there's any resistance to increasing that fee by 50 cents or something like that. But to pay the expenses of putting together this management plan, I don't know.
The reason I think it's so important to have the legislature make that decision is that the tribes are willing to take a stand on this issue of how it's going to be managed. Most agencies will not touch it with a 10-foot pole. So I simply think either there will be no decision, or by default there will be no use limitations imposed on the river from the, if the managing agencies have to make that decision.
Is it your sense that this would be an appropriate time, working with these two bills or whatever, to begin trying to wrestle with that problem?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you. Representative Soa.
Well, I was just wondering if there's really any valid need for a management plan to be developed. You stated that, and then you turned right around and say that you support a bill that would mandate that that there be a use limit on the other part of the river. Therefore, you're asking the legislature to override or supersede a management plan.
What I'm really looking at, Representative Soa, is that the Shelby report does not say what should be done. It says what the impacts of various courses of action are to evaluate the problems that are there. The Warm Springs tribes believe that that study supports use limits on section number one. But the legislature needs to make that determination, and we'll do our best to convince you that it should be done. The legislature might come up with some other recommendation, and but I think the legislature needs to address that issue. The Shelby study also presents a recommended procedure for implementing these things and making these decisions. And what Senate Bill 945 really does is, I think, legislatively implements the procedure that's outlined in the Shelby bill, or the Shelby study.
Thank you very much. Let me tell you how we're going to proceed from here. I'm going to ask Mr. Shelby to come up and make a presentation on the study, and we're going to limit him to half an hour. Then I'm going to take a break. Before we take a break, I'm going to ask people in reference to whether it's this bill or others that are here from out of town, what your time factor is and what have you, and we will move around on these bills to accommodate people as best we can. And then when we get our tire recycling bill, we will move on that. But we do need to try to economize on time as much as possible. I don't want to lose the audience, and I don't want to lose the committee. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Shelby. It's getting awfully warm in here. We did call the maintenance people, but they don't. What was their response?
Called twice, and they said they're working on it. You're in trouble, right?
They won't come and open the windows.
Why
I think
we open the windows.
Open the windows.
I think we can
open the windows.
Can
we open the windows?
Well, yes, open them. I tried a little while ago, I couldn't, but let's open the windows if we can open them. They get stuck or something. I'm not sure. See if it'll open.
They lock them.
They lock them? Is it locked?
I feel a little cool breeze coming down.
Why don't we close the drapes?
Are you ready for this?
No, get ready for this. It'll be a shock when they close those drapes because the room will fall apart. Welcome.
Thank you. My name is Bo Shelby. I'm from Oregon State University. I'm the person with whom the State Parks contracted to do the study on the Deschutes that was called for in Senate Bill 202. I assume you'll be delighted to know that my understanding was that I was to present a 5-minute version of the study and not a half hour version. So I'll go ahead.
I would never ask an academic to do 5 minutes, which I know they would take an hour or a half hour, but we will hold it to you.
Well, as you know, professors are programmed to do things in 50-minute increments. So, but I'll give you a short version.
Thank you very much.
You all have, as I understand, a copy of this report. I'd be glad to provide additional information either by answering questions or at some later time if the committee wishes. My purpose in testifying is not to take a position on this bill, but rather just to explain what's in the study that the legislature asked us to do. First of all, the reasons for the OSU study were primarily three. First of all, use has tripled in the last 10 years on the Deschutes. Use is concentrated in the summer months and on the weekends. That means that those problems occur at certain times of the year. As a result of those two factors, there were concerns about impacts on the river. And so our charge from the legislature was that we were to do an independent scientific study, that we were to, in that study, identify the impacts from recreational use, both social impacts and ecological impacts, to develop standards for acceptable levels of impact, to develop management alternatives which would help address impact problems, and to assess public support for different alternatives. In order to carry out this study, we started out by holding meetings with a number of different entities, including all the managing agencies, interest groups, and various public meetings. We had contacts with over 40 different groups or representative of groups or individuals. We did a number of different site assessments. We spent.
Excuse me, Representative Sella.
Sure. The goals for the study that you just outlined, that was spelled out in the legislation, or that was?
That's right. That's correct.
Thank you.
We did a number of site assessments. My recollection is that we spent somewhere around 100 days in the field. We incorporated the expert judgments of both the resource management community and the scientific community, and we did two different user surveys. user surveys add another dimension here. It's kind of like having a scientifically conducted public opinion poll to try and predict the next election, as opposed to just having information about the endorsements from different interest groups, such as a labor union or the Sierra Club. Briefly, the results in terms of ecological impacts. The ecological impacts on the river come from several different sources, from grazing, which has occurred over the past 75 to 100 years, from road and railroad construction, and from recreation. Those three kinds of impacts sometimes combine. The bottom line here is that at least in some places along the river, there is loss of riparian vegetation. What that means is loss of wildlife habitat, loss of bank stability, and loss of recreation opportunities. This doesn't occur along all parts of the river, but it occurs in specific areas, and the study specifies what those are. In terms of social impacts, users told us in terms of the survey, the survey suggests that users see crowding problems on the river. We used a crowding measure here that's been used in a number of different studies across the country, and the Deschutes in some parts of the river and sometimes is one of the most crowded areas studied by researchers. On-river impacts include things such as the sheer numbers of people that are seen, the numbers of boats passing anglers. Impacts at camps include things like sharing campsites and competition for camps. And the signs of use that people leave behind include things such as fire rings or human waste. Again, the study specifies the particular areas and particular times where these problems occur. The management alternatives here can be broadly grouped into three categories. They include capital improvement and development, essentially spending money to improve facilities, things like that, education, regulation, and law enforcement, and use limits of one sort or another. Excuse me. Each of these alternatives has certain things that it's good at accomplishing and certain things that it's less good at accomplishing, and it depends on the impact problem that you're trying to address. Which one is most appropriate, and again, the study specifies each of those relationships. The question that seems to me that we're faced with here is what kind of recreation experience should be provided or should be available to people on the Deschutes. The study tells us that the river is already crowded according to users, that several impacts exceed user standards. We know that use has tripled in the past 10 years, and there's no reason, as I see it, to believe that it's not going to continue to increase. Users also tell us they prefer a lower density experience than is currently available, and they also tell us that, in general, they oppose large-scale development. They favor small-scale type development, such as adding toilets to solve human waste problems, but they specifically oppose large-scale developments, such as state park-type campgrounds. It seems to me that we've got two major alternatives here. I realize this is oversimplifying a little bit, but the choice is fairly clear. On the one hand, we can manage the impacts for user standards, and what that will probably mean is that in order to limit some of these impacts, we'll have to limit use at some areas, at some parts of the river at some times. The other alternative is to allow impacts to exceed the standards of current users as a result of continued increases in use. What that second alternative means is that we're going to be providing a different kind of recreation experience than is currently available on the river. We'll be providing higher density recreation. In order to accommodate that, we will wind up doing higher levels of development, and it means there will be a more modified environment. Now, those things in and of themselves aren't good or bad. They're just different than what we've got currently. And it seems to me that the guidelines that are cited in Section 4 of House Bill 3019 clearly choose that second alternative. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Boy, that was really economizing. I didn't think you could do it. Questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Sowa.
Mr. Hultberg from the tribes indicated that a certain percentage of people favor limited entry on a particular section of the river. How did you arrive at those figures?
Okay, we sent out a survey to a random sample of boater pass holders, and we also selected a sample of non-boaters for whom we didn't have such a convenient list, so we had to go find them on site, get them to give us their names and addresses, and we sent a survey to them as well. In that survey, we asked people to tell us about their support or opposition for different kinds of use limits. And those are the numbers that he's referring to. I could read you the specific questions if you like.
Sure.
Okay, so this is a section of the questionnaire. This is the questionnaire that was sent out to people, and we asked them to fill it out and mail it back to us. Approximately 83% did so. So we had a real high response rate. People are real interested in and concerned about the Deschutes. We had told people we'd like to know your opinions about management direction. Listed below are various management alternatives, which interested users have suggested as possible strategies for ensuring high-quality experiences on the Deschutes. These are only possible alternatives which have in no way been decided upon. Please indicate whether you favor or oppose them on the section you know best. Each person responded just about one of the four sections. It was too big a burden to ask a respondent to tell us about all four.
You got their preference of the river from the first pages of the questionnaire where they said that that was the area they used most.
Right, right. We asked them to tell us about the section of the river which they used most often and which they knew best. That way it allowed us to organize the information by section, which was another thing that the legislature specifically asked us to do in outlining the study. So several of the items here are limit numbers of boaters, limit numbers of anglers, limit camping parties to the number of available campsites, limit commercial outfitters, limit numbers of jet boats, limit the size of jet boats, or prohibit jet boats. Those are all what might be generally classed as use limit alternatives.
Other questions?
And they, excuse me, and they had a place to check whether they strongly supported, were neutral, opposed, or strongly opposed each of those items.
Okay. Representative Ekus.
Is there a specific question in there on limiting, unlimited entry?
Yeah, there's a question, let's see. Okay, on the next page, there's a question which reads, total boating use on the Deschutes is currently increasing between 7 and 12% per year, although it may be increasing at a lower rate on some sections. If use continues to increase, would you accept having less of a chance to get on the section you know best if it meant that there would be fewer other boaters? The three choices were never, I'll always want unlimited access no matter how many boaters there are, maybe it depends on how the permit system works, and yes, I would be willing to accept some limits on use. What we found in general, again, I'm kind of giving you these figures from memory, but approximately 15 to 25% answered in that first category. It depends on which section of the river we're talking about and which user group, but approximately 15 to 25% were in the never, I always want unlimited access category. Approximately 50% were in the maybe it depends on how the permit system works category, and approximately 25 to 30% were in the yes, I would be willing to accept some limits on use category. So a large group of people for whom the design of a system would determine whether they support it or not.
Mr. Chairman.
Madam Sala.
Then the figures that were quoted by Mr. Netley must have included some maybes and occasionals and things like that?
Without having access to which figures exactly he was citing, my guess would be that he was referring to the previous item that you and I discussed, and not the one that I just gave you the information about. And my understanding, my guess is, I don't know exactly how he arrived at those figures, and again, I don't have them here right here in front of me. We certainly could get them, but I don't have that level of detail at the moment. My guess is he was referring to either the limiting camping parties to number of available sites or limit numbers of boaters, one of those two items. And he was probably combining the support, the strongly support and support categories. That would be my guess.
Another question.
Yes, Representative Sala.
When did you do your studies of the river?
This study has been done in roughly the year preceding January 30th, 1987. So we sent out surveys last summer, basically.
Go ahead.
what section of the river did you observe for overuse other than through the questionnaire?
Okay, the results that I was giving you in terms of impacts and standards were from some other questions, again, which I'd be glad to specify for you if you like. And the report discusses the results section by section. And in the interest of putting this all into a five-minute presentation, I kind of lumped that all together for you again. I'd be glad to make a presentation, or if you like to take the time now, to give you as much detail as you like about one section or the next.
Well, I don't know if you know or not, but we had a float trip down the river this last weekend, and we saw that the areas that were supposedly overused had completely, I don't know what completely is, but completely regenerated, and I was wondering if you had included in your study some personal or some observations of the area in this regenerated parts of the year during the early spring, if you included any of that data in the report.
Okay. Because of the timeline that we were faced with, we didn't get as much of a